It's Tuesday, 19th of June, and you're listening to the Game Grain Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are a truncated cast of Kayla, Nikki,
welcome,
and Catty.
Did you just call us short?
No, I was polite about it. I said truncated.
I don't think that's better.
I thought he called us drunk.
Yeah, that's what I said. Don't go back and listen to the recording.
I swear to drunk, I'm not God.
This week, since we're all basking in the afterglow of E3, I figured we'd just have a little natter rather than focus on any one topic, because there's not been much announced post E3.
Yeah, we're in the lull now.
But first, let's go through what everyone's been doing this past week. We kind of skipped it last week. Kayla, what have you been up to?
I've been quite ill all of last week, so I haven't been doing a huge amount. But I did start Elite Dangerous again. And I'm still not sure if I'm enjoying it or not, to be honest. I get very angry with it very quickly, and then equally I have really awesome moments in it. It's just such a learning curve of a game. Like, there's so much the game doesn't tell you or teach you in any way. Like, I've just had to Google pretty much everything and watch a bunch of YouTube tutorials to learn how to do almost anything in that game. I don't know. It is fun, I think. I'm not sure. I think Nikki might need to answer this question for me. Am I having fun?
I think the answer to the question is, when the game works in your favour, yes, it is enjoyably fun, and I enjoy watching you play it. However, when the game throws you the weirdest curveball for whatever reason, it's... Even from like an outside point of view, watching you play it, I do have to raise my eyebrow at quite a few of the game's systems, because it's kind of like... It feels like the game should have like such a big push for microtransactions, but there aren't. There's just cosmetics only. Because the way it's designed almost feels like they want you to spend more money.
It's 100% designed for the grind. I'm not even out of the... I've been playing it quite a lot, like a good few hours almost every day. I think I've kind of peaked now on the smaller ships, and they cost something like... I think the one I just got cost me almost like 10 million credits, and the missions that I'm doing now only offer about like a couple of thousand or like a couple of hundred thousand credits. But a lot of those missions are in conflict zones, which are areas just full of, it's two factions fighting each other, and it's full of NPCs and potential players. You rock up, you join a faction, and you kill people until you killed enough to go and hand in the mission. But even doing that, it takes ages to get any money, and you're so... You're penalised so much as well, especially in combat, because when you die, you have to buy your ship back, and it is stupidly expensive, and if you can't afford to buy your ship back, you then have to take a loan out, and then that loan will take 10% of whatever credits you make from then on, until you've paid off that loan. And it's so punishing, it is unbearably punishing. I can't even imagine getting one of the larger ships, and let alone, I wouldn't even take it into any kind of combat for just the fear of having it destroyed and just completely bankrupt.
You should never fly without a rebuy. If you can't afford
never
to
fly
rebuy,
without
then...
Rebuy. Yeah, I've started to hear this quite a lot, and I made that mistake with one of my most recent ships, and it wasn't a good time.
Yeah, I have always made sure to fly, even if it's I just have enough. I will avoid combat like the plague.
I love the combat, I really do, and I love the conflict zones. But my biggest problem with the conflict zones are it snowballs one way or the other, and you can't quite tell what happens until you start fighting. So you drop in, you join your faction, you start fighting, and I pretty much know if I need to bug out immediately. If I've got three enemy ships attacking me, I just need to like just go and then try and come back later. But then equally, when you start winning, it's like it's always at least like two, three ships against one, so it becomes no challenge, and you just sit there quite happily just knocking ships out of the sky until eventually reinforcements rock up, and then suddenly, you know, you go from like full shield to down to like 1% hull, and you poo yourself very badly.
The thing about conflict zones is, well, I'll admit I had a several dozen hours worth of the game under my belt before I was told, yeah, when you go to a conflict zone, you have to choose a side by going into this menu here.
Yeah, I didn't know that, because you can still target the ships and kill the faction that you're after, and it will still count towards your quest. But when you join a faction, any enemy ships you kill, you get like a combat bond, essentially, which you can hand in back at the station. So yeah, so I didn't realise that for ages either. So I was getting like absolute pennies, as opposed to like the combat bonds, more often than not, will actually give you more than the actual mission in the end. Like the mission just tends to be like a bonus payment on top now.
The other problem is if one of your rounds goes stray and hits someone on your side, everyone is suddenly after you.
It's not a good time.
You shot another ship, you have 100 credit bounty on you, so now there's 40 people trying to murder you to claim that bounty.
Don't get me started on the stations as well. The amount of times I've got fines and stuff because of reckless flying. It's like, it's not my fault. I was just...
Slow down to 100. That is the speed limit.
But it's so slow!
I remember several months ago, me, Puce, and I forget who joined us, were teaching Rasha, our editor-in-chief, how to... Well, he wanted to try and get into Elite Dangerous, so we got him out of a station, and we were dropping some cargo for him to scoop up and then go and sell to make some money. When you request docking for a station, it gives you 10 minutes. He docked with 2 seconds to spare.
Oh my god.
It took him that long. That much
I
faffing
remember
around.
I started, actually, learning how to dock was not an easy thing to do. Especially because the stations tend to spin as well. So you've got to try and like match how they're spinning and everything. Like now I've got it down, it's easy. But yeah, if you want to start up a game that is going to punch you in the face repeatedly for every tiny minor like misstep that you take, then yeah, go for Elite. Whether the payoff or not is worth it, I'm still not 100% sure.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, sorry, that's my rant.
Nikki, what have you been up to?
So, following the excitement and exhaustion of E3, I finally had a bit of time to get into some games, and there's three that I'll quickly mention, actually. Firstly, I finally, after picking it up for about, like, I think £5, finished Agents of Mayhem. I kind of left it for a bit and then came back to it. Yeah, it's all right. Like, I enjoyed my time with it. It got quite flat towards the end. Characters, Daisy especially, are brilliant. But it's a shame that it kind of just falls on its face towards the end. It didn't hit the same like level of enjoyment that I got from like Saints Row the Third, but still a good game. So, yeah. But I've also recently, as in literally in the last like 2 days, I have been playing the Splatoon 2 expansion because that came out, the Octa expansion, which is like so difficult but so good, and there's something amazing about the aesthetic in that game that as you are trying to do these challenges, there's like a GameCube just floating in the sky, and you know, much to the meme that now surrounds this expansion, don't drop the magic 8 ball, just don't drop the magic 8 ball, you will die. And yeah, the third title I've been playing, which was a nice birthday gift from Kayla, is Neo, actually, on Steam. And I've been struggling to put that title down because it's so bloody good. The Souls game, well, Souls-esque game, shall I say, are games that I absolutely love, but I'm usually really bad at. But Neo is just clicking so good with me. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And there's just so much depth and systems to that game that just allow you to really play the way you want. And there's something great about being able to just get boards, go low stance so you hit really fast, and just destroy enemies. It's great.
Did you play Bloodborne at all, Nikki?
Yes. So I've played Dark Souls 1, 2, Bloodborne, and I've never finished any of them. In fact, I've never gotten very far in any of them. The only Souls-esque game I ever actually finished was Lords of the Fallen, which is a bit of like Babby's first Souls game.
I only say because I think almost everyone I know who's played Neo has said it's basically Bloodborne, but faster.
It's Bloodborne
slightly
too.
Slightly tighter. Yeah.
Like the thing is though, it's really nice because the combat is super tight. Like, You've got the fluidity of the combat and the systems there. The stance system allows you to really sort of change up. Like, for example, every stat, every attribute correlates to a certain type of weapon. So if you're focusing on one weapon, you want to pump that skill up. Makes sense. But then what's good about it is, so for example, my character, I'm primarily dual blades. However, I have a katana when I need a little bit more reach. But because I'm not focusing on that attribute, it doesn't do as much damage. But if I go into the high stance, where I'm hitting harder and slower, I'm doing more damage per hit than I am with the dual blades in the normal stance. So there's a lot of sort of flexibility in the systems. But Bloodborne, yeah, I think comparing it to Bloodborne is probably the most accurate. Just slightly, and that actually, yeah, no, it is still as creepy as Bloodborne. Every woman I've met so far has tried to kill me. Bar one.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, everyone but one. So yeah, that's about it for me, really.
Okay, and Catty, what have you been up to?
So, I've been away for a couple of weeks, you may have noticed. During that time, I didn't really get to play video games because I went abroad, and I chose the perfect time to go abroad during E3. And I didn't have any internet, so I came back and I watched the conferences and kind of wish I hadn't, though we'll presumably get on that a little bit later. And then I started playing all the games that came out over that time when I wasn't able to play anything, and so I've got a nice little list. So I'm going to start with Dauntless. I've put about 8-9 hours into Dauntless now. And I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't really know what to make of it, because it's kind of an MMO, but it then isn't one. So it's got all of the sort of the setup of an MMO, where you're in a big hub area and there's people running around, and you go and talk to the person, and then you go talk to another person, and then you go and do a thing, and then you come back and talk to the person again. It's very... like normal RPGs, they tend to have a bit more fluidity to it. This is very much, here's a hub and you have to keep coming back to it.
Go kill 10 bears in the woods and come back to me.
But that's the thing, it's not... So far, every mission has been, you kill a thing. And it's a hard thing to kill, because because Dauntless is the... it was going to be the only Monster Hunter game on PC, and then Monster Hunter World was like, we're coming to PC eventually. But yeah, I really like the combat. It's very fluidic. It's combo based. So you've got heavy and light attacks, and there's three different weapons sort of at the start, and they spread you out a little bit more further on. And all the weapons do different things, and it's all really nicely done. And I've been on hunts with other players and not said a word to anybody, and it's great. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether it's because it's an MMO style thing and I just haven't really hit into the story yet, or if there just isn't any. But there's just, so far, it just seems to be, I go back to the hub and then it says, go on to do this next mission, or go on to do this next hunt, and then come back and I'll send you on a different one, and then come back and I'll send you on a... There doesn't seem to be anything other than we're protecting this city. There doesn't seem to be any sort of overarching thing to that we're doing.
So, is this open beta? Is it out?
Yeah, it's open. I just download it from their site. And
so maybe it's just because it's beta they don't want to give any story away?
Maybe, I don't know. It's difficult to tell. I'm struggling to want to go back to it. I don't feel I've done everything. I've barely scratched the surface, but I don't feel like I've scratched the surface after 10 hours, and I don't really know how much more time the game wants me to put into it before I'm getting really into it, if that makes sense.
All of the time.
I just don't have all of the time.
It's very pretty though. I love the style. It's just so nice. The designs of the monsters are really good. They're all kind of just like mashups of different animals, with like a kind of, I don't know, like a mythological kind of spin to them.
Yeah, the second thing that you fight is my favourite creature. I have no idea what it's called, but it's like a talon beast or something like that. And it's basically an owl and a bear mashed together, and it was so fun to fight because it's just really fast and it does a little flying attacks, but it can't really fly because it's just too fat, basically. So it sort of just hovers there, and as you attack the creatures, they generally, like, there was a bit of it where it knocked me to quite low health, and it retreated back, and you could sort of, both me and it were like panting. We were in this like big fight. It felt like a big fight, and it felt like we were both exhausted. It's not just the art, the animations in it for all the monsters are superb.
So is the combat alone just enough to sort of, if there was to be no story, would just the combat alone be enough to keep you playing?
Not as a single player thing. I think I know that further on that you can do like the modifiers on the beasts and make them like really stupidly difficult, and I think having a group of four people going through and just sitting down and you just go through and do these harder hunts, I think that's where sort of as far as I can tell at the moment, that's where sort of the end game enjoyment is. But I don't know for sure. But yeah, past that, I've been playing a lot on the Nintendo Switch because four games kind of came out on or around E3, kind of. Fortnite Switch is just Fortnite on the Switch, and it's really good. I hate it because third-person shooters on consoles. I'm a PC, I'm a keyboard mouse person. I'm used to that.
Unless, of course, you have a PlayStation account, in which case, nope.
Well, yeah, that is a problem. But technically, it runs really well. I've been playing it just handheld mode, and it runs really smoothly. I've got no faults for it, apart from I just don't like playing it. I'm not the biggest fan of Fortnite anyway, but it's fun. I'm going to keep it on there just in case I want to play a round of Fortnite at some point. Paladins, the high-res Overwatch thing that isn't really like Overwatch at all, that came out... It's weird because it's free on PC. They're selling it on the Switch in sort of like a closed beta style thing. And it's going free to play on Switch later on in the summer.
So wait, you have to buy into the beta?
Effectively, it's... So when you buy into it, you're buying all the characters. So in the free version, you don't, you have to buy the characters separately.
You're buying like the gold pack.
Yeah, it's called the Founders Pack, and it gets you a load of money and stuff.
And it just happens to give you access to the beta as well.
It's the only way of getting. It's not. I don't think it's technically a beta. It's they're testing servers and stuff, and make. They don't want to. I don't really know what they're doing with it. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me, but it's what they're doing. So it's that again runs really well on Switch. And it, as a first-person shooter, I'm actually having more fun with it with the controllers than I'm having with Fortnite. I'm not really sure if it's just because of the style of the game where you've sort of got abilities and things. But it runs really well and I'm actually enjoying it quite a lot. Fallout Shelter, they released that. I just use the touchscreen, so I don't see why I don't play it on my phone. Then Octopath Traveler. Has anyone else played Octopath Traveler, the demo they released for it?
So, I forgot. For some reason, I didn't play the first demo. I have this installed. I haven't played it yet, but I am meaning to. But it looks awesome, so I'm curious what you think.
I really hate it. I don't like turn-based RPGs that much.
Fair.
Like they're not my style of game. If there's a really good one comes along, then I will play it. So I was really excited for this one. But the art style's great. I love the visual of it, but fuck the writing, fuck the voice acting, fuck the audio in general, and fuck the UI.
Oh, right.
Fuck the UI.
I've just looked it up. I played the first demo, and I guessed the twist that they were building up to within the first 5 minutes of the game. I guessed it within, like, 20 seconds. Oh, so-and-so is with the king. So I said to myself, right, he's a traitor. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, oh, he kills the king.
Can we just appreciate one thing, though, about this title? This is going to sound really weird, but Octopath Traveler is made in the Unreal Engine, and I still find that... Like, I refuse to accept that a game with that much of a beautiful 2.5D art style can be made in Unreal. I know it can, but it just baffles me.
Yeah, visually it's spectacular, and I actually do like the way the game plays. I think the combat system in it is interesting, but it's matched with a UI where it's a turn-based thing, but you don't take turns. You kind of, like, sometimes you take your turn, then sometimes the enemy takes two turns in a row for a reason that the game doesn't tell you. You can't see the enemy health bar. You can't see... I don't understand what the game expects me to do sometimes. So, yeah.
Just having a look, because I have a feeling... Yes, no, yeah. Okay, that explains it. It's the same people who did the Bravely Default series of games. Did you play them?
I didn't.
Yeah, that basically, the battle system in that is very much a case of, like, you can do stuff, and then the enemy gets, like, fuck loads of turns, and because, yeah, it's good, but it's a weird battle system, and I still can't quite get my head around it. So, from what you've described, it sounds like they've kind of adapted that slightly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have to give the demo a go and let you know next week.
From the way the combat system sort of works, and the thing I really like about it is... The enemies have, I don't know what they call it in the game, it's like a shield number. So the enemy that I fought before I just gave up on the game because of the cutscene that came afterwards, we'll get onto that in a minute, it had 5 shield. So you have to attack it 5 times, and then when you attack it that 5th time, you break the shield and it gets stunned, basically. It can't do anything until it's regained that, which it does on its next turn. Your next turn, you can do bonus damage. And I really like that as a sort of a mechanic where you, depending on the way you choose to attack, depends on how that works out. But it only works if you take turns, and it just doesn't seem to be the case. But, yeah. the writing, the voice acting would probably be fine. It's a little bit shit. Like, the characters are, it's a little bit my first anime dub style, and I'm not super keen on. I should point out, I've played the Hunter character, because you can choose between the 8 characters. And I just didn't like the voices. But the writing, it's Shakespeare, but written by someone who doesn't understand that. So it's all like, I really wish I'd got an example, because I don't want to try and make it up on the spot.
Is it trying to be smarter than it actually is?
It's just wrong. I think that's what annoys me. They use words that just don't exist. And expect, they say, like, you've got a keepin' when they just mean keep. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't extend words and add little bits onto your words and use fucking verily for no reason. It doesn't just...
Because it sounds yodi.
See, all I've got in my head now is just a bunch of people being like, have thou Arif keepy something.
It is like basically that.
Just all awkwardly trying to
I really wish I'd have taken screenshots or something of after I fought this creature. It's sort of like the end of the tutorial boss fight kind of thing. The main character has a literal 5-minute monologue where she just uses endless numbers of words and sentence structure that just doesn't make sense. And you can skip it, and I really recommend you do, because it's bollocks.
Well then.
I'm just quickly googling to see if I can actually find some like a screenshot or something of the dialogue.
See, speaking
perfect
of...
Perfect podcast fodder.
Speaking of a really bad voice acting, I just want to gonna quickly segue to a slight side note. Can we all appreciate how bad, and before I say it, don't get me wrong, I am super looking forward to this game and I'm super excited, but how bad the voice acting / dubbing in the E3 Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer was.
Oh, that was terrible.
Because they'd blatantly just taken the Japanese trailer, muted it, and then just tried to time the English up, but without any of the sound effects, and it was just a really bad trailer.
Yeah, just the pacing of it was so off.
It kind of... That and a few other things kind of make me think Square forgot when E3 was, and
yeah.
Then suddenly it was next week. Because they didn't have a stage show, they didn't have any original trailers. I think everyone else had trailers for their stuff before they did. Sony was the only press conference after them, and they had their own Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer.
The problem is Square Enix gave every other conference their trailers. And why?
We had this, though, with Final Fantasy XV. They had a space on the Xbox conference, whenever it was, last year or the year before, and they were showcasing the Titan fight. But for whatever reason, they did it live, and it was it was awful. It was a terrible playthrough. And, all the talk about Final Fantasy XV after the Xbox conference at that time was just, this game looks shit. But then, when it got to either the Sony or their actual conference, they did a pre-rendered trailer, which showed off the fight in a much more better state. And then everyone was like, that was so much better. Why didn't they just do that? Why, what? And again, they did that this year. They just, everything they showed off was stuff that we already knew. And the stuff that people wanted to know about, they just didn't show anything. I mean, we got 3 or 4 different versions of the same Kingdom Hearts trailer.
Yes, I think we spoke about earlier. The C3, there wasn't a huge amount of new stuff. It was a bit of a closer look at things that had already been announced. Yeah, I don't know, it's just, it's been an interesting one. I know we've had so many announcements, like, outside of E3, so before and now we're getting Square Enix doing stuff, what, is it in a week's time? Yeah, I don't know, it's been a strange one.
Right, did you have any more games you wanted to talk about, Katty?
Probably. I've been playing Realm Royale, which is, again, Paladins, this time on PC, but it's the Battle Royale mode thing they're doing for it. It's really good. Like, it's my favourite Battle Royale mode that I've played. You choose one of four classes. Half the pickups that you pick up are just abilities. And you've got, instead of a jump, you've got a special ability, and one of them is just fly for 10 seconds. Just fly wherever you want. Just fly there. It's fine. It's really fun as well. Yeah. I think that's everything I've been playing. Oh, no. No, there is one more thing. Harry Potter. I forgot. We've got three
Yay.
Weeks of...
Have you graduated yet?
God, no. I don't. I'm in the same year.
Oh, you haven't even gone up a year.
No, because you have to be connected to the internet. So while I was abroad, I couldn't play. But yeah, I think basically since the last time we... I've done a few chapters. I've met Bill Weasley by was the last thing I did with told you about. Now I'm BFFs with Bill Weasley. And we tried to go into the cursed vault, and I had to set him on fire because he was being frozen. And now he wants to go in again because he's mad. Just all of these characters are just insane. I don't understand their motivations. But right now I'm in a flying class, and I ran out of energy. And the energy is getting worse. These classes are taking more energy to do than they did previously. And I've not gained any for a long time.
But have you put money down?
No.
Then that's why.
Okay. Games that I've been playing. Fallout Shelter on Switch. I played it for 2 days and just forgot about it. I've also been playing Total Overdose, just because I thought I hadn't played it back on PlayStation 2, but having been playing it, I'm getting flashes of like, oh, I kind of remember this bit, because I don't remember the level I've just played, but I remember the cutscene at the end of the level.
So, which game's this?
Total Overdose.
No, it doesn't ring a bell for me.
It's a open world crazy game. You can leap about the place in like bullet time and run up the wall, do a flip while shooting people in slow motion and. It's mental.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the screenshots. There's a screenshot of him holding two guitar cases, but they tend to be guns.
That's one of the power-ups. Yeah, those just go on auto-fire for about 10 seconds, allowing you to obliterate all of the enemies. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. It was published by Eidos Interactive. But they pulled out of a possible sequel. And a couple of years later, the studio closed after producing... The developer closed after producing... Or developing the Watchmen game. Part 1 and Part 2. Watchmen, The End Is Nigh.
Is that any good?
Both have mixed reviews on Steam, so...
Anyone's guess?
I've also been playing quite a bit of Persona 5. I just had the itch to load up my save game and get back into that. I've gone from 26 hours to going on for 40 hours.
Anytime anyone mentions Persona, I have vivid flashbacks to the fact that I still need to finish Persona 4 Golden, and that the point I left it, Rize went into hospital, and I've never played it since. So for about the last 2 years, that girl has been in hospital, wondering when her friends are going to come see her.
So sad.
Oh, God, it's Harry Potter all over again.
I tell you what, Saturday, Persona 5 is still sat on your shelf as well.
Do you know what? I think it's actually still cellophane wrapped.
Admittedly, I haven't finished Persona 4 Golden either. I also don't think I'm like 20-odd hours into it.
I just want to point out, though, that out of all the games that have never been spoilt for me, Persona 4, I still have no idea how that game ends, and I swear to God, if either of you ruin it now...
No, I don't know how any of the Persona games end, I'll admit.
I don't know how any of the Persona games start, let alone how they end.
Well, you grab the disc and you put it in the console.
I thought you could say something completely different.
I've been waiting and friggin' waiting for Persona 2 and 3 bundle on the Sony... Well, it was released for the PSP, but you can buy them for the Vita. I've been waiting for ages for those to go. They're currently at $39.99, and at one point they did go to about £20, but I didn't have any money to buy it at that point. And I've been waiting for, it's got to be over a year now, for them to go back down. All of these sales that they have, Best of PlayStation and Japan sale and all that, never goes down.
Because it's a classic. Also, for those...
Anyway. Oh.
I was just going to quickly add that for those who aren't aware, I think it's Persona 2? It might be the first one, actually, but there's a really funny localization where in the West, there's a guy who looks an awful lot like Hitler, but in the Japanese version, it's just straight up Hitler. Like, the villain in the game is just straight up Hitler. Like, spoilers, but...
Spoilers!
It's really funny, though.
All right. Well, what do you guys want to talk about now that we've spent almost 40 minutes talking about Catty's games?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to quickly jump in and go first because I feel like I probably have the least to say in regards to E3. If that's all right with all of you.
Go for it.
No.
Well, screw you. So. Generally speaking, I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, E3 was a bit of a weird one in the majority of stuff that was announced either got leaked beforehand or was stuff that we already knew was coming and we just got a closer look at it. Quite happy with E3, like we have quiet ones, we have busy ones, it happens. There were some really cool trailers and things got shown off, and there's a lot of games I'm really excited about. Predominantly Death Stranding and Devil May Cry 5, which I think, to be honest with you, Devil May Cry 5 is probably my game of the show, because I think I speak for every Devil May Cry fan when I say that I don't think anyone ever expected that game to get announced, and the trailer's amazing, and I love Nico in it. She's really cute, and I want to marry her. That's the mechanic lady. Sorry, I was just going to say, like, see, Square Enix, that's how you do a mechanic lady without making her sexualized. That's how you do a decent lady character who wants to be a mechanic, right? She's covered in grease, she's got fucking tool belt, she's not walking around with fucking boobs hanging out and knee-high boots all like, howdy, y'all! Fuck you, Sydney. Hate you. Sorry, that's my rant. Sorry, I cut you off, Kayla, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, yeah, you were excited because I've never heard you scream that loud at like 2:30 a.m.
You didn't see me when they announced the 7 remake.
But no, which, like, they've only just started working on 3 years after they announced it.
Yeah, because again, Kingdom Hearts 3. But That's a whole different kettle of fish. But the thing is, as well, like I don't believe in the whole like who won E3, because I think it's sort of bollocks. Because at the end of the day, we all win because we're gamers and games.
No, this year we all lost. The only winner of E3 this year was Devolver Digital again.
But yeah, it was overall a bit of a weird E3. It's really frustrating as well because Sony. I know Cat has got a lot to say about that, but like Sony, you brought some great titles to the table, and I was really happy to see it. But your format this year was appalling. Don't do that again. Just don't do that again. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And fun fact, at the time, just before the conference happened, I actually knew someone who was he was there. He was in the crowd, and he just was messaging like our group, being like, "There's not enough chairs. There's like four rows of seats and everyone else is standing cramped into this makeshift cathedral. This is really weird." And then some guy with a banjo comes out. And it's like, this is just weird. But again, like all the good stuff they showed was actually in between, apart from the Resi 2 remake, which I'm very excited about. But yeah, that's really my opinion. Like I'm generally happy with it. I think there were some good announcements, but I feel like the rest of you have more opinions to say. Why are you using a cow stress toy as a machine gun?
What?
I keep stealing. I work at a university and we have these really weird like stress squidgy toys that come in. We've got a monkey, we've got cows, and I keep bringing them home, and Kayla's got one, and I just looked over and she was using the cow as a machine gun.
That's just,
I have mindlessly so many
doing
questions.
Something. Maybe we should get a webcam for the next one.
But yeah, I'll pass over to you two. Generally, E3.
I'll stick on Sony, because what the fuck were you thinking? Come on. That was such a, like, in a year of really bad showcases, you have to go above and beyond to be remembered as the worst. And you just... they knocked it out of the park in how bad it was this year. Considering this is the one, like, was it last year they had that massive stage with the, where the stage was also a screen and it looked really cool and they had the orchestra. Where did the design team from that go this year? Like, seriously, who thought a tiny tent, what was even the cathedral? Where was the link there? Does anyone
it
know?
It was the scene... in the trailer for The Last of Us 2. So the Last of Us 2 trailer where they're dancing, that's where everyone was. They were,
I thought,
in
that was
that
a bar
scene. Well, to be honest with you, I was too busy watching the girls make out, but you know.
Yeah, but they also called it a tent at several points, so I have no idea what it was.
Well, there is a video of them making the set. I think it was literally... I think they had a giant tent with the main stage, which is where we saw everything else. But then within the tent, there was another tent which had the church, cathedral, whatever. But what wasn't shown was when everyone was walking from the first place to the second place, they had, like, dioramas of the four main games. So they walked through a Japanese garden, they then walked literally past an oil-covered beach for Death Stranding, so on and so forth. So... but we didn't see any of that. Instead, we got a weird, like, guys and a girl sat on a roof.
We got a good third, if not more, of that press conference was people talking about games that we weren't looking at. And then also, oh, here's a Call of Duty trailer. And that was,
we need
that
to
was
fill
it.
Time.
And I'm like,
it's weird. Sorry, I was just going to add, like, it's weird as well because they had the the countdown to E3 where they announced five things before. I liked that because it was predominantly PlayStation VR. So it was like, okay, cool. They're probably not going to talk about VR at the conference, get it out of the way on the 5 days before. Fair enough. But even still, those announcements were kind of a bit like, what?
Jumping back a little bit to The Last of Us, can we talk about just how heavily scripted that gameplay footage was?
I don't think that was scripted. That just looked like a Naughty Dog game. Like, their games are just inherently scripted as it is, so...
Yeah, but just like a lot of things, like the set pieces, like just the way the enemies were moving, the way they were entering buildings and stuff like this. There's no way any of that's going to be accurate to actual gameplay. And just like small details, like when Ellie's under the car and the person comes to check under the car and she kind of cocks the gun very slowly. It's just like, just all of it is just like, no, that's, it's not going to be actually in the game.
I actually think that's something, that's, Naughty Dog are very, we like the cinematicness of it. So I think that's something that they probably would do. Like if... Uncharted 4,
but to that extent, I find it very hard to believe that to that extent.
Well, Uncharted 4 was a 4-hour long, well, 6-hour, how long was Uncharted 4? It was effectively just a cutscene with a little bit of movement in the middle. Like, that whole game is so heavily scripted. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they do the exact same thing with The Last of Us 2.
But in comparison to the first one, it was much more of a stealth shooty shoot rather than, you know, balls to the wall kind of action-packed scripted sessions.
Yeah, I guess. I think that makes sense, though, with the switch of characters from Joel to Ellie. Like, it would make sense for her to go around bashing people's heads in with planks of wood.
I think my biggest issue with that demonstration was... And I say this as someone who, like, I like The Last of Us, but I'm probably, like, the least excited about the second game. The thing that got me was that, as great as a showcase as it was, it's like, it doesn't really, like, I didn't get excited at any point. Because, again, it felt very heavily scripted. It may very well not necessarily be the case when the game comes out, but it just didn't... It was just, I sat there watching it like, this is just E3 in a nutshell. It's not necessarily bad, it was good, but it was just like, this is just E3 in a nutshell, like, yeah.
I thought gameplay looked really boring. Like, not to sound like I've gone back on myself, I still think it's probably going to be exactly as script as it was, but it just looked really boring.
Yeah, it's a weird one as well, because, like, they've really gone for, like, the gore brutality route, and I kind of just raise an eyebrow to it, because I don't know, like, the last trailer they showed, where it was literally just, like, what, 3-4 minutes of, like, people being abused, that was just a bit weird.
Yeah. I don't think...
Yeah, that was... Especially because it was off the bat, something else that was just as brutal. It was Detroit Being Human. With the domestic violence, it was straight off the back of that. So it was a little bit, I think it was a little bit jarring, like a good sort of like 20 minutes of very, just women being beaten up, basically.
This doesn't sound so much like who won E3, more who lost E3.
Oh no, that's really easy, because, and I'm sorry, I'm taking it back for a moment, I'm taking this rant back. I'd like to direct our attention to EA. Now, EA, you are fabulous in the art of complete and utter fuckery. Now, I'll give you credit, Anthem, cool. You did the typical sports thing, you didn't focus on it too much, you had the awkward scripted, you know, announcements, fine, you did your thing. You were alright, you weren't awful, you were okay this year. And then you come on stage and you go, you know, we're going to do a live shoutcast of an esports, which no one gives a shit about. It's the most awkward thing. Like, it was just so awkward. But then you show us the game. You bastardized Command & Conquer. You've brought back Command & Conquer as a shitty mobile game. You're dead to me. Our relationship's over. I never want to talk to you again. Don't even call, don't even write. It's over.
I just...
But it might be like the Dungeon Keeper.
Oh, it's like... No, it's going to be exactly basically... like the Dungeon Keeper, because they literally immediately, during that presentation, went, oh yeah, it's got all of microtransactions and things. You can pay just a fuck ton of money to us.
Oh no, and the great thing about it as well is it's like, they rock up, and someone, you can tell that someone's ran into their office and gone, guys, there's this great mobile game that we need to copy. Oh, what's that, Steve? Oh, it's called Clash Royale. Yeah, let's jump on that. What, 4-3 years late? Fuck off, EA. Seriously? Like, and fair enough, people are like, oh, but this could maybe bring back Command & Conquer. No, it won't. No, it won't. EA, they just fucked another fucking franchise, and it just pisses me off, because I really want a good RTS, and no, you took the fucking franchise that me and so many other people love, and you shat on it, and then to make it even better, you go to the website to pre-register, just to see what's going on, and it immediately is like, hey, if you pre-register, you get some items in the game on day one. It's like, oh great, microtransactions, unfair leveling, just, it's bullshit, going.
My favourite part of it was that they got out StarCraft 2 X-Pro, and I don't know what the other guy was X-Pro in. I googled him. I couldn't find him. I think he's just a random guy they found in the crowd.
Mind you, you quite liked the bit with the, I don't know what the trophy was, Kayla, but that weird football trophy, the fact that like they were standing.
That was so funny.
Oh, yeah, you could tell that they've been given strict instructions not to touch it and to keep a certain distance.
It was just, the Champions
you
League
could just
trophy.
See. And I loved it, just the awkward, like, they couldn't get the World Cup, because obviously it's World Cup. But they had that trophy, and then just like awkwardly point to the screen, yeah, but we're all more interested in the World Cup one right there on the screen. And it was just a little bit sad.
In Jim Sterling's video talking on this very same topic, he's got the clip of that guy just longingly looking at that trophy in slow motion. It's so good. Can we talk about Anthem for however long we've got left?
Yeah, sure. We haven't really spoken about Anthem that much, have we? And it's actually one that I'm really interested in.
What did you think of the trailer? The actual gameplay that they showed us, which wasn't really a trailer. It was more, we're going to talk over some footage.
It hasn't shown me much other than it's, well, what we all kind of thought it was. Essentially, something else to play other than Destiny, I suppose. Combat looks good, but yeah, we haven't seen enough for me to be like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Like, I need to see more, but I'm still very interested in it. Like, I love the art style, and I just love the idea of the javelin suits.
Yes.
And I think it's like 4 different types of loadouts, and you're not locked into one when you choose. You can sort of swap and change, I think, like before each mission or whatever. So yeah, I'm curious.
I think that the Anthem showcase in general was the perfect example of how little they actually prepared for a show, in the sense that they showed the same footage twice, and the screenshots about 3 or 4 times, that there's like concept art 3 or 4 times, because they weren't ready to show the combat, which was like 30 seconds of that 10-minute segment. They just obviously had not prepared anything for that. And it's shocking how bad they... Like, that game could be really good, but in my eyes right now, it's terrible. Because they just showed it off so poorly.
It's quite funny as well, because a lot of... Because I've learned more about the title from YouTubers who've been able to get hands-on with it and stuff, and they've all been praising it and saying, like, you know, the stuff they're saying makes me quite interested in it. But apparently, like, yeah, the bit they got to play at E3 was essentially what we saw, but then halfway through the fight with the big monster that appears, it just stops. It just goes, thanks for playing. And they're all like, but why?
It's because the enemies don't have death animations.
Wait, seriously?
I bet that's actually because you don't see them die in the combat demo either. I bet it's because they've not done that yet.
I've just remembered one game that was, although it wasn't announced at E3, that was shown more, that I am very excited for. It's not Devil May Cry. Division 2. Like, yes. Everything they're showing about that is just, yes. Ubisoft, keep going.
Yeah, that game looks really good.
Yeah, they've done what they... they're supposed to, and they've improved on first game, and they're giving the fans what they want.
Still had the really cringy, we're friends all playing, and focus the tank, I'm on it.
Yeah, I really, I just want them to stop. Just give us a developer talking over it instead, and just being like, oh yeah, this is like, oh, Sensei's going to use this weapon now, and it's going to be cool. Just, it bothers me so much.
But hey, at least with Anthem, the audio wasn't other players. It sounded like, well, it was weird because it seemed like it was NPCs, but at least it wasn't some random woman being like, oh my god, you're as rare. Division 2 looks good, and I like the fact that this time it makes a bit more sense, like, you know, the tagline of save what remains, it makes a bit more sense because, you know, you are literally trying to save what remains after the crisis, whereas in Division 1 it was always kind of funny that it's like, we need to save what remains by shooting everyone.
I'm more interested in it now, the fact that enemies don't seem to be such bullet sponges, because that's actually something that really put me off in the first one. Like, just, you've got some guy in a jacket and a beanie, and you keep shooting him in the face with a shotgun about 20 times before he dies. Or is this one that actually looks like the time to kill enemies is much shorter now?
They've made it so...
It's gone.
Sorry.
They've kept the kind of bullet spongy thing, but it makes sense in the fact that, like, there was that big tank guy. They literally called him the tank, and he was just covered in metal. And then they spent 5 minutes shooting that metal off of him and then killed him.
Well, it was kind of cool to see that you could blow the pieces of armour off him, so you could, like, muck it off his arm, and I'm assuming once you've knocked a piece of armour off a certain area, you can then do more damage to that area?
Yeah, so, again, YouTubers. Some of the guys did interviews, that they've basically confirmed that what they're doing this time is, you know, the trash mobs, as you will, they will, like, most likely go down super quick, maybe 2 headshots at most if you're playing on a higher level, whatever. I think they said they're going to slightly up the level of them, and the tactics they use now, they will still pose a threat, but they'll go down quite easier. And again, the armor system, as you were referring to, guys, the big yellow name guys, they will have lots of armor, and again, you can blow it off and then do, like, crit damage to them and stuff. Enemies will have more weak points, so you can sort of, there'll be more incentive to sort of move around and actually position and get shots on your target rather than just sit behind a wall and just keep emptying clip after clip after clip. Although you still will to a point, it now makes more sense in the context of the world and in a gameplay sense. I don't know if those, like, say you blow the armor off, if you can then keep shooting the arm repeatedly to get crit damage. Because, like, Destiny, for example, the tanks, you can only do X amount of crit damage before that particular leg stops taking crit damage. Then you have to blow off the other leg. So I'm curious if that's how it's going to work, but we'll see. It seems like armor is more valuable now rather than, rather than just a beanie made of pure iron.
I'll be interested to see more of that game as we get closer to its release, which is next year, I think.
March, which I think is about 2 years. I think it's like a week after, 2 years and a week after the first game launched. And free updates. Also, that was the theme of the E3, wasn't it? It's like, you know, no premium pass, no loot boxes.
Except for
yes,
COD.
But it has something else.
Except.
Yeah, that's just true.
Where they've got. That game basically costs $100.
So wasn't that right? Wasn't that the thing as well? Because, like, obviously one of the surprises during Sony's conference was, hey, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is now on PlayStation Plus. But wasn't, I can't remember the details, but wasn't there something really weird, like, to get the last DLC for that game you need to pre-order the fourth one or something?
If you pre-order the new if you pre-order Black Ops 4, you get 3 of the mediocre maps from Black Ops 1, which they called the best maps from Black Ops 1, but they're the most mediocre ones. They've remastered them and they're putting them in Black Ops 3. Because
that makes sense.
Yeah. I think the less we say about COD, the better, though, because what have they done?
But you know damn well that every single person with PlayStation Plus, myself included, still went and grabbed Black Ops 3.
Well, oh, since yeah. anyone mentions anything free, it's like, yep, that's going to be grabbed.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, going back to the no loot boxes and all the rest of it, is it Battlefield with the airdrops?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh, there's no loot boxes, but they're doing airdrops, which sound like they're the exact same thing.
It's exactly the same thing, but they haven't said whether or not you actually have to pay with real money. I think it's you've got to pay with in-game money, but the way they were described is they're just loot boxes. It's just cosmetics in a box, but it's okay because they're called something different.
Actually, I think we spoke about this last week. I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the airdrops have. They said it's not randomized loot, as in it could be anything that you get. Instead, it's a set bunch of stuff that you could
curated.
Get. Yes, that was it. And it would be random out of that curated. So it's the same thing. They're just trying to do enough to make it different enough and be able to talk their way through it as if it's different. So it's not called a loot box. It's something else. But yeah,
it's boot boxes. Yeah, not loot boxes, it's boot boxes. Totally different.
Absolutely.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Kayla, Nikki, and Spherical. Or Catty.
Hi.
Whatever we call you. That guy who's playing Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I was literally about to say that.
The wizard who's not a wizard yet because he's not connected to the internet or played enough. I feel like in reality your wizard is just like takes a few steps and then just like collapses to the floor and is just like, oh god, my hernia. And every other wizard's like, oh, if only we could cure this serious fatigue that every single one of our students seems to have. If only we had something like magic potions.
They do have the battery life of an iPhone, so...
No, they do have the gear. It's called money.
Yeah.
All right, make sure to check out GameGrin.com for gaming news, reviews, and articles. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. And find GameGrin on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember to check out our Twitch stream at 8 p.m. UK time. Every single day, now that Psychopathic has finished his exams. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.